do not collect $200.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We begin the next book of the Rambam. It's called Sefer Hafla'ah. Hafla'ah, the word Hafla'ah, like you find in the Torah, ki ish ki yafli lindor neder. Hafla'ah means an utterance, literally, the word Hafla'ah. That's the, what a whole book, this whole next book is Hafla'ah. It's about utterances. And what kind of an utterance? It's how to create a halachic reality verbally. That's the main idea. And there are four different sections of laws. The laws of Shavuos, oaths, the laws of Nadarim, vows, the laws of Naziris, of being a Nazir, and the laws of Erchin v'Charamim, where you give the value of yourself or other things, or you make things holy that way. So that's four. It's probably one of the smaller books we're doing. So we could make a target date to finish this probably in the year 2017.
Are we doing a seal for the last one?
I don't think you're in charge of that. I'm not in charge of that. Anyway, we are starting Hilchus Shavuos. Hilchus Shavuos is the first of the laws we're at over here. And very just generally, and don't ask me questions for detail, but the difference between a Shavua and a Neder, a Shavua is when a person binds himself or commands himself about himself or something else. While a neder is when a person makes a vow about an object and creates a prohibition in the object, not necessarily in the person himself. That's just a general difference between the two. But we're going to be focusing on Hilchus Shavuos for now. That's what we're going to focus on. And as we always do, a little introduction over here. It says, Yesh bichlalam chamesh mitzvahs. There's five mitzvahs in the laws of Shavuos. Number one, shalo lishava bishmo lashakar. Not to swear in God's name falsely. That's number one. Number two, shalo lisa shmo lashov. Not to take God's name in vain. Okay. Number three, shalo lichbor bifikaron. To not deny having a pikaron. A pikaron is a deposit, but it's a very general term. As we'll see, it's not only deposit, it's you having someone else's money of some way, no matter how it would be. We'll disrupt that. And this, you're going to transgress that even if you don't make a vow, as we will see. Number four, shaloli shava al kfiras mamon. You should not swear falsely on denying that you owe any money. And these are the first four that he's going to talk about very quickly. And then the fifth one, he won't get until the 11th chapter, which is Lishava Bishmo Ba'emes, if you swear in God's name, even truthfully. These will all be elaborated on. But what he's going to do in the first chapter, he's going to go through four types of Shavuos that a person can make and what he can transgress with. And this is going to, but the Rambam in this first chapter, what's going to happen, he's going to set up the basic categories of oaths. That's what all of Shavuos is about. And we'll see that these four that he brings out sets us up for the next 10 chapters or so, approximately, of what he's going to deal with. So let's start right in here. Aleph, it's not a hard chapter. It's just a lot of new information. That's all it is. Arba minei shvuos hein. There's four different categories of oaths that you're not supposed to be doing that you can get punished for. Number one is called a shvuas bitui, an oath of an utterance. Now, I'm not even going to explain them now because he's going to do that in the next halachas. An oath of an utterance. Number two is ushvuas shav, which we will translate as a meaningless oath. And we'll see how that's different than the other one. Three, ushvuas hapikadon, a shvua, an oath on a pikadon. A pikaron, although it normally means a deposit that somebody gives you to watch, here it's going to mean holding on to someone else's money on unlawfully in any manner possible, and it's not necessarily has to be a deposit. Okay, that's number three. And number four is ushvuas ha'edus. Is even though you think it means and the oath of testimony, but that's not what it means. It means rejecting that they know testimony on someone's behalf. In other words, someone says, I want you to come and testify in court for me because I know you saw what happened. The guy says, no, we didn't see it. And they're lying. So when you reject testifying, even though you should be able to do this. Okay? So, shvuas shav is going to be the first thing he's going to explain, and that's going to be halacha aleph beis and gimel. Shvuas pikadam. Shvuas bitui. I meant. Okay. I'm sorry. I jumped on that. So bitui is aleph beis and gimel. Shvuas shav is going to be halacha dalid. Shvuas pikadam halacha ches. And Shavuos Ha'ed is halacha yud beis. Now we're going to see, when we get to the end of this, the Rambam is going in the order different than the way that the Torah presents these four types of oaths. And later on, the commentators will explain why. All right, let's begin with number one. Shavuos Bitui. Now again, Bitui means, literally, means an utterance, an oath of an utterance. What does it mean, a Bitui? So the way the rabbis explain, it's when you say something that you generally, it doesn't have to be, but generally comes out of the heart. Let's say a person's having a very emotional moment and he's very inspired or whatever, or it's very exciting, his heart's into something, and a person could make an oath at that time. And that's not a, usually that's not the best time to do this. And therefore you're going to see when the Torah says you do it, it's not like something you should be doing. Something you shouldn't be doing, that, but although the Torah will call it that, as we'll see, and it's something that's not a good idea to do. Hu shenemar b'Torah, as it says in the Torah, it says, O nefesh, or a soul, ki si shava, that swears, livate, to say something explicitly, bisvasayim, with your lips. Lihara literally means to do bad, but it doesn't mean to do bad in the conventional sense of bad. Ola heitiv, or to do good. It means something bad for himself or something good for himself, as he will explain. But that's what the Torah says. It's very cryptic what it means. But it's saying, you know, you're saying something explicitly, that something either was or will be bad for you or someone else, or good for you or for someone else. Totally not understandable until he explains it. And this first category of bitui is divided up into four subcategories of oaths you should not be making. All right, you'll see it's very simple. He says, shtayim, two of them, you'll see, will be focused lahaba on the future, and ushtayim l'shavar, and two are reflecting on the past. Truly, he's going to say five, but even though he's calling them four, as you'll see. For, again, he's being very general right now. Kigon, for example, shenishba al dova she'avar shenase. Let's say he swears about something in the past that happened, but it really didn't. Oh, shalonase, or he swears it didn't happen, but it really did. Oh, val dova she'asi liol she'aser, or something in the future that he will do, but he doesn't do. Vishalos yase, or something that he will not do, but he does do. We will see. So if any of those four circumstances, that's a sin and you get punished for it. He will explain this all. All right? Now, beis. Ve'ein shvuas bitui noheges. And this type of oath, of an utterance, is only punishable. Elabit varim, in only on certain types of things. She'efsol asosam, that it is within your power. Bein lahaba, whether it's in the future. Bein l'shavar, whether in the past. Okay, Kate Saad, let's now start to give some examples so we'll understand what's going on over here. Let's start with Likishavar, something in the past. So let's say he says like this. He says, I make it, now remember, he's going to get to a lot of details, but the basic thing is, I swear in the name of Hashem, the following. We have to discuss what it means in the name of Hashem, exactly what you say, but you just can't say I swear. You got to say the name of Hashem, because that's the big problem, right? And a lot of times, you know, people will say this just to, you know, let's say they get in an argument with somebody and the guy says, listen, you know it's true what I'm saying. It's just as true as because I'm, like, I swear that I did this and this yesterday. A lot of times people just, you get emotional. And you just, you know, in the non-Jewish world, there's all kinds of ways they talk, right? Oh, so boy. Jews, you know, the guy says, like, I swear to God, you know, like, that's same idea over here. So it's not really, you'd ask, well, why would a person ever say such a thing? We'll see, man. But that people get emotional. So let's say he says, frankly, he says, I swear by Hashem, she'achalti, I ate something yesterday. I ate a bagel yesterday, right? Oshas arakti evan layom, or I threw a stone into the sea. Now, there isn't anything really good or bad about it, but he swore that, right? Oh, shidiber ploni in ploni. Or in the past, he says, that I swear that Chaim Yankel spoke to Moshe yesterday. Okay? Now this is really even less than the first two, because the first two, at least, you swear about something you did. you did, which you didn't do. Or here it's talking about where you didn't even, it's not even something that you did, it's about other people.
You observed something you observed.
But it's, this is what exactly I saw that happened. Right? So that is in the past. Okay, we said there's two in the past and two in the future. So in the past, where, you know, something sort of positive, let's say I ate or something like this, and the truth is he didn't. Oh, shalo achalti, or he says, I did not eat yesterday. Oh, shalo zarek evan liyam, or I didn't throw a stone in the sea. Oh, shalo diber plain poli, or so-and-so did not speak to so-and-so in those circumstances. Okay? So now, that's the type of oath. Now we're going to see in the next halacha, how do you transgress that if it didn't happen? Now, why would you do that? Well, people, it don't matter why they did it, they just did it, right? So if he says, you know, I swear by God that I ate yesterday, and he didn't. Or he says, I swear by God I fasted yesterday, and he ate, right? So there's two types. So the past is something, let's say, positive. Either he did do something, and he didn't, or he didn't do, and he did. Mm-hmm. Okay? What about the future? The reverse. V'ketzad l'haba, he says, for example, she'ochal, I swear that I will eat tomorrow. Or he swears, oh, shelo ochal, I swear I will not eat tomorrow. Oh, or he swears, she'ezrok, that I will throw a stone in the sea. Oh, shelo ezrok evelium, or I will not throw a stone in the sea. Now, the Rambam does not give the example for the future, I swear that so-and-so will speak with so-and-so. Because that's totally not in his control.
Yeah, that's totally.
What's in the past is, number one, in his control. And if he saw somebody do it, it happened. It's all, in, so to speak, he's talking about something that's verifiable or not. Future, the only thing he can swear on is what's in his control. Either he's going to eat or he's not going to eat. But we can't pick the case of, I swear that Chaim Yaakov will speak to Moshe tomorrow. That's totally not in the category. So here you have, Sahare Elu Shtaim L'Shavar U'Shtaim L'Avah. So that's two in the past and two in the future. Although it's not really two in the past, it's sort of three in the past. But that's, be that as it may. Now, how do you transgress this? Now, there's going to be two different ways of transgressing. B'mezid, intentionally, and B'shogeg, unintentionally. Now he's going to describe that. And it's interesting, in the four categories of oaths, there's different ways to transgress intentionally or not intentionally. Has its own rules, different than other rules. You'll see. So let's take this one first. So Gimel. Nishba achas me'arba machlokus. If he swears at any one of these four types of subcategories, elu, these, vehechlif, and it really was the opposite of what he said, or became, either was or became the opposite. For example, going shenishba shalo yochal. He says, I swear that I will not eat, let's say, today. Now, all the next chapter, I'm going to get into all kinds of details. How do you transgress? Because he just said, I won't eat, you know, in the future. What does that mean? Today, tomorrow, whatever. But those are details we'll thrash through later. But on the simple level, he's going to say, I swear that I am going to eat today. And guess what? V'ochal. And he did eat. So now he did the opposite of what he swore he was going to do. Or the opposite. So was not eat, and he does eat. Oh, or the second category, shiochel, he swears he will eat today. V'lo ochel, he does not eat. That's the future. The past, oh, he swears she'achalti, let's say I ate yesterday. V'hu lo ochel, he did not eat. Or he swore she'lo achalti, I did not eat yesterday. V'lo ochel, he did eat. Now here is the rule now. So in the category, let's try to get it correct. In the category of a shvuas bitui, an oath of utterance, which is usually said when a person is a little bit emotional, if you are lying, we call that a shvuas sheker. That is the Torah's definition of a false oath. There'll be other wrongdoings in oaths. We don't call it false oath. This is false oath. Valzeh, and for this type of an oath, ukeyesber, or similar things like that. Nemar, the Torah says, and this is the prohibition, lo sishavu bishmi la shoker. You shall not swear in my name falsely. Meaning to say, in this type of situation, the implication is, at the time when you make the oath, it should not be false.
You know it's all right? False.
But that's the first half, at least, because that's what that's an oath in the past, right? The past, right? Also, it means you should not swear in my name in order to make it be false in the future. And that will be an oath in the future. Okay? Now, if to get punished, someone has to warn him about this lav. And we got to see, you know, we're going to see there can be lashes coming up over here. So now the guy's making an oath. The guy says, wait a minute. Are you, look, you're getting excited now. The guy's getting all nervous. He's getting all excited. I swear I'm right. You know, I swear just like I swear I ate yesterday.
No.
You know, and the witness sees, you know, he's this kind of guy. And they say, hold it. Before you got to swear about your bagels, right? We're warning you now. There is a law in the Torah that says, "Lo si shava bishmi la shaker," and we're warning you not to do it. Okay, that's the thing. Now, the imnishba. So this is the. Why does Rama have to? He's telling you this is the law, so you'll know what the witnesses have to warn him on. You just can't say, "Hey, you know, you're swearing falsely." Well, there could be there's four categories of this. So you got to pin the right. Yeah. Lav. So the lav is lo sishavu bishmi lashaker. The lav is don't swear with my name falsely. Now vimnishma lashaker bemezid. If he intentionally swears falsely, means he was warned on this. He knew he was lying for the past tense. Or he knows he he's setting him up in the future that he could be lying if he doesn't fulfill what he says. All right, as opposed to let's say he forgot or made a mistake, whatever. But he knows he's lying, and he also knows he's not allowed to make this oath. That means two things here. He knows he's not allowed to do this because the witness told him, you know, the Torah says you can't do this. And number two, he knows he's doing the thing wrong, as opposed to we'll see him at what shogig is. Anyway, like he gets lashed. 40 lashes. Right? Now, we're going to see it's only going to apply to three out of these four cases. The first, on the past, he swears that if he swears that I will not eat, and he eats. Okay, one second. Or he swears that he'll eat and he doesn't eat. Okay? So he's going to be chayv. Now here's the problem that the commentaries deal with. You should all have been jumping on me by now. It's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. Right. It's a lav without an action. So how you chayv on this?
You don't eat. You haven't done any action.
So he's saying that it's because from the time he made the oath, it is a false oath. And the Rambam will go into much detail in the fourth chapter. He will explain this issue. This is an exception to the rule.
Obviously.
Basically, this is an exception to the rule. And it seems from the wording of the Torah, at the time that he makes the oath, this already is, that is the transgression. And we'll have to see, he's going to explain it more. Because but that's when he gets lashed.
It seems funny.
Okay,
that
but this is which case he swore that he won't eat and he will eat, right?
Is this the past or the
right,
future?
Because future. If so, there you have an action when he eats. So the action is the eating will be the action that
and
will make
says,
it a sinful. Wait. Now, if he swore that he ate in the past or he didn't eat in the past, they say he also gets lashed for that because at the time of the oath, he made the lie. But it's still hard to understand. We'll have to wait for the fourth chapter.
Okay.
But the one that you for sure will not get lashed, even the Rambam will agree, if he says in the future, I will eat and doesn't eat, well, then he didn't do anything at all. For that one, he will not get lashed.
What's the time frame?
We have to go in the future. We'll have to see. We'll see. But this is the maze. So this is an exceptional rule. And only three out of the four scenarios do you get the lashing for it. And that's what maze it is. But bishogeg, let's say, what does shogeg mean over here? He knows that he is lying. Let's say he swore that he didn't eat, and he knows that he ate. And he knows that you're not allowed to do this, but he doesn't know that you get punished of what the punishment is.
So he wasn't warned.
Okay. You didn't know that it's punishable. In other words, he doesn't know which lav it is, right? But he knows he's lying. He knows that he ate, and you know you're not allowed to. But he doesn't know that that it's a punishable thing. He just doesn't know that. So maybe korban ola v'yored. He brings the ola v'yored, the fluctuating ola, And what's a fluctuating Ola? It's a korban that's not the same for everybody.
Right.
If you're wealthy, you bring a korban chatas that's an animal. If he's a poor fellow, he brings a bird. And if he's destitute, he just brings a meal offering. And that's why it's called Ola Vioret. It kind of goes up and down, meaning to say depending
sliding
on
scale.
Sliding scale
on what
that you have. Now, how do we know all this? Shinemar, because regarding this Avera, it says when he makes this oath, it says, but Vinelam, if it's he forgets it, so to speak. In other words, it was a shogeg. He didn't know it was Aser Mimenu. Vahu Yoda, and then he found out that it was not good. Vahashem, and he sinned. Then he brings the Ola Vioret offering. All right, so this is category number one. Again, we're talking about a shvuas bitui, an oath of an utterance, usually said under emotional circumstances. Generally, we're saying it's either positive or negative in the past or positive, negative in the future. It can even in the past relate to other people doing something, but that will not relate in the future. And if he knew it was prohibited to do this, and he did it, and he knows there's a punishment that comes with it
warned,
and everything, and he was warned, then he'll be lashed for three out of those four scenarios. All the scenarios except the future, he says, I will eat, and he doesn't eat, then he won't get lashed for that. Shogeg means he didn't know it was punishable, and then he brings, for a shogeg, he brings the korban ola v'yoreh. That is category number one. Okay,
if he didn't know it was punishable, that means he couldn't have been warned.
Yeah.
Maybe they...
How could they warn
maybe,
him?
Maybe.
If he's warned, then he knows.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, that's always is that way, right?
Yeah, but he has to be warned the specific... Like,
or let's say they warned him not to do it, and they didn't tell him what the Avera was.
Okay, so he's off on a technicality.
So then it's still called a shogeg. We'll see, some of the other shogegs are defined differently. All right, let's go on with shvuas shav. Okay, now what's shvuas shav? Literally, we'll translate it as meaningless. That's the best way to explain it. So we'll see. So the shvuas bitui, the first one, it's an utterance that ultimately is a lie or will be a lie. That's the way to understand it. The sin of the first category is you either lied or you lied for the future. Okay, you didn't keep your word or whatever. So there's a lie in there somewhere. It's an expression that turns into or was a lie. Here, the next one is like you just said something totally meaningless, and you'll see it's like wonderful. Like
why are you using God's name?
Saying God's name to say, you know, I swear by God that the sun's out.
Yeah.
That's the heaven. I swear by God's name, this is a chair. Right, that's not have something with what happened or not. That's just okay. Thank you. Like, so it's also nechlekes. It's divided larba machlokas. Also into four subcategories. Ha'achas, one is shenishba al dovar hayadua she'enokein. First, he swears about something that is famously obvious, not so. Like it's like no, it's for sure not true. It's like forget it. It's not like I ate yesterday and I didn't. Well, that's not for sure not true. Not everybody would know that. But let's say he says, I look at Shelly and I say, I swear that Shelly's a woman.
Well, we don't know.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, at least in the Rambam.
Let's not go there. Let's not even go there.
At least in the Rambam school. Okay? So that is obviously...
It's
okay, maybe nowadays you wouldn't be over all the cases. But or Bala Isha Shuish, you say a woman, this woman is a man. All right? That's not like lying about eating or not eating. You just said it's totally meaningless. It's wrong and meaningless. Val amud shel shayis, let's say a pillar of marble, you say shu shel zav, it's gold. V'chein kol yisa. So that's category number one. It's a meaningless falsehood. So if you say that he's a woman, like big deal. So like, who cares? It's not like you lie. That's not a lie. It's just totally unrealistic. It's meaningless. That's what it means shav. It's like totally wasted. Okay. Hashnia, hey, hello, hey, Hashnia. What's the second category? Shinish bal davar yadua she'embo safik ladam shukein. Now you're swearing about something you know is absolutely for sure true. You're going, for example, shinish bal shemayim shemayim. He says, you know, I swear that the heavens are the heavens. Vala evan zo shemayim, and I swear that this rock is a rock. Vala hashnayim shemayim, and I swear that two cups, it's two. It's two cups there. V'chein kol yaseh, anything similar to that. Let's say, for example, the commentary say, let's say you see it's raining, And I swear that, let's say it's the middle of the winter and it's like pouring on the Sharon Valley, right? And he says, you know, I swear that the price of crops will be cheap. That's also, it's obvious. If it's a rainy season, the crops are going to be cheap. So that's how far it goes. There's no doubt to what he said for any sane person. Okay? In other words, a not sane person might, you know, oh, thanks for telling me that a man's a man. I didn't know that. But normal people, right, you know, any reasonable person would know that's true or not. Now, why is he doing that? Why would Kidei Letzane Kadavishu? Because he's trying to justify the oath he's going to make about something else. He said, I swear, just like Shelley's a man, that's I don't owe you any money. That's how they do it.
You say something that's clear as day, I don't owe you, or...
No, clear as day. We don't want to say God's name.
As day, I don't owe you the money.
You could say, I swear I don't owe you any money. But here he's making the oath on this reality. Right. That's the point. He's saying, I swear, just like I swear that Shelley is a man, and I don't owe you. Well, now you're putting the oath on that part. You're not supposed to do that. Okay, that's the second category. Again, so category one is you swear about something that's totally not true at all. Like it's ridiculous. Number two, you're stating the obvious. Number three, shlishis, halacha vav, shenishba levatas mitzvah, you swear against the performance of mitzvah. You swear about something, you cannot make such an oath. For example, Ketzad, going shenishba, shloli sata mitzvah, he swears that he takes a four-cornered garment, it has to be a four-cornered garment. He says, I swear that I have this four-cornered garment and I'm not going to put tzitzis on it. It's not that he swears I won't wear tzitzis, because you don't have to wear tzitzis.
Right.
You don't wear a four-cornered garment. That's okay. But you can't swear about something you're not allowed to do. You can't say, I swear that I'm going to put a four-cornered garment on, and I swear that I will not put tzitzis on that. You can't do that. Or shalo yilbash tefillin. You say, I'm not going to put on tefillin today, which is a regular day. You can't do that. I swear I'm not going to be in a sukkah on Chag HaSukkos. Or I'm not going to eat matzah on the Seder night. Or he swears I'm going to fast on Shabbos and Yom, which generally you're not allowed to do. Okay, we'll get into it. Well, what about he had a dream and this and that? But anyway, this is the third category. Revis, what's the fourth category? He swears about something that is physically impossible for him to do. It's not like I swear tomorrow I'm going to eat something and he does or not, because it's possible. He could have done it. That's for a sheker. But you swear about something you're going to do that is a physical impossibility, nobody can do it. For example, I swear I will not sleep for 72 hours straight. The Gemara says it's impossible for a person not to sleep within 72 hours. Or he swears, I will not eat anything for 7 straight days. The Chayin Kogan says anything similar to that, which you know is a physical impossible. Or let's say he says, I saw a flying camel. You know, I saw a flying camel. Well, that you know is also not true. So a physical impossibility. All right, these are the four categories. Again, you swear about something that totally cannot be, that a man is a woman. Number two, you swear about something that totally is true, that a man is a man, for that matter. Number three, you swear against the performance of a mitzvah. Number four, you swear against something that's a physical impossibility for you to do in the future. So now, any of these oaths, if you make a meaningless oath, we don't have to wait for you to be proven wrong or not in anything over there. So would you say that the person is lying over here? Would we use the terminology lying over here? The guy's a liar? No, that's meaningless.
Fantasist.
He didn't use God's name to lie. He's just using God's name to say something meaningless. That's the simple meaning of saying God's name in vain. But really, you're saying God's name in vain even if you're lying too. But here it's like you're saying it in a meaningless fashion. So over below, Sasa, you transgress the negative commandment. Now we have to know which negative commandment, because the witnesses would have to know what to warn you. They can't say, you know, the Torah says you can't lie when you make an oath. Well, this would not be considered a lying by an oath. You wouldn't get lashed because they gave him the wrong warning. So here we go to the Ten Commandments. Shenemar lo sisa eshem Hashem Elokecha lashav. Do not take God's name in vain, meaningless. A meaning, but in something that intrinsically is not a valid shvua, right? So, you're basically saying God's name for nothing. So now, Vim Hoya Mazid, if he's Mazid, where he knows he's not allowed to do this, he knows what the punishment is with it, he's warned with that, then Loike, he gets lashed. Again, even though it's a lav she'ein bo maisa, but variously, the commentators explain this a little bit better. Now, here, why you get lashed, it's mamish explicit in the pasuk. If you continue with the Ten Commandments, what does it say? After it says, you shall not say my name in vain, it's not finished. The commandment goes a little bit further. It says, ki lo yinaka Hashem, Hashem will not forgive the one who says his name in vain. So what's the implication? Hashem cannot forgive. You know, so who could?
Man.
A Bezdin.
Yeah.
Right? Hashem says, right, I won't. But a Bezdin, right, could forgive him and by punishing him. And that gets atonement. Where it's like, when Hashem says, if you say my name, you can't get forgiven. There's no way out of that. No, Hashem won't tolerate it at all. The implication. But a Bezdin can deal with it. Bezdin will do something. So that's the, again, of a pasuk source that shows it's an exception to the rule. Those extra words, because why does it say Hashem won't forgive you for what you do? Because implying the best thing could. How? By punishing you properly, and by lashing you get forgiveness. So that's the atonement. So that's why you get lashed. Vim hoya shogeg? Here's interesting. Here, when you're a shogeg, putter me klum, nothing.
Nothing.
Doesn't matter. There's
no,
nothing.
I'm sorry.
Shugging potter mi klum. Not even a korban. There's no korban and shvu shav. Doesn't matter shogig or mazid. Well, basically, because it doesn't say the pasuk as I said before. And if he did not know, remember by the first oath it said if he did not know. It doesn't say if he did not know. So it comes out there's no aspect of shogig. I mean, let's put it this way: he's putter in this world. He's obviously has done an avera the shogig. But whatever, God does not provide in the Torah a methodology to give him fixed up with a bezin in this world. But there is a problem, and it's interesting. We don't know how that tikkun is going to happen.
It does say entirely, right?
Miklum, entirely in this down here.
Oh, I thought you
here.
Entirely either way.
No, he, no, entirely meaning he's not going to get lashed. He doesn't bring a korban. He doesn't do anything
here. No, go to
not upstairs.
No,
so
no,
upstairs.
It, no, it means here. Obviously, he did something b'shogeg.
Yeah. But it was no consequence. It wasn't a liar, and it was just nonsense.
Okay, but God told you not to do
vain.
It. God told you not to do
God's
it.
God's name was used in vain.
And that's
Greg,
not a good
happens.
Thing.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Bezdin does not have
thing.
A way to fix you up.
So
how, why that is not in the other case, I don't know.
The guy who does it.
That's worse.
He'll have
worse,
to do tshuva. He'll have to figure out ways to do tshuva. You're right.
How he could be shogeg if he's been warned?
The guy does it by
he wasn't warned. Well,
but if he wasn't warned,
let's say he wasn't warned. No, if he wasn't warned.
But if he wasn't warned, he couldn't be punished.
Let's,
in the first place.
So every show gig, let's say by Shabbos, let's say you didn't know, did borer on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Let's say you picked some bones out of your fish on Shabbos. And then somebody, look, Martin, why'd you do that?
What did I do? What? What did I do?
I didn't know. Show well, gig. Guess what? You have to bring korban chatas.
Yes.
Bring korban chatas. Even if you don't know, ignorance is not excuse to the law.
Yeah.
So you'd think over here, ignorance is no excuse to the law. So we know that rule means you've done something wrong. You should have known that. There's obviously something wrong, but for whatever reason, the Torah does not say there's anything that can be done
force.
In this world. I don't know why this, you know, is so much different than the other oath, where the other all the other three oaths have a concept of shogeg with concept.
Worth shape.
He is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't
know. It
just
doesn't make sense for a mistake, as opposed to... Intention.
Okay, so it's a good question. I don't have an answer.
Rabbi
okay, we did two out of the four.